Good morning. It's Thanksgiving weekend and Sunday, and my privilege to be with you. I've been here several times over the last year, so I'm starting to feel like I don't get all the names yet, but I get a few faces, and it's my privilege to be with you. Just to introduce myself a little bit in case some of you aren't aware, For 2 years now, I have served as the what we call the regional director for ACOP in the province of BC. That's a half-time gig, and we just had our annual conference this week, and your staff were there, had a good time at Harrison together, and I'm enjoying it very much. And I also give time and raise funds to, as a sort of a missionary, I work with the leaders of ACOP in Zimbabwe and Mozambique. And when you say those two together, it sounds very mysterious, but it's just great Christians, the fruit of our missionary endeavors for many years, and I get the privilege. I'll be traveling there for 3 weeks in November, and so do appreciate your prayers and support in that. Have you read your bulletin yet? Open up your bulletin, or do you call it a program here? Are you in the 21st century? We used to call them bulletins, right? Now they call them programs. Inside, bottom right hand, call it the third corner, it says, "What are you grateful for today?" Little assignment for you, I'm sure. It says, "I am grateful for." I'm going to give you 45 seconds to write something down, and I need 6 of you to tell me what you wrote down. So go. And Owen gets to be the first one. Melanie's looking in. It's quiet. She can't figure out what's happening. No, I haven't lost my mind, Melanie. It's okay. I gave a little assignment. Okay, I think that was 45 seconds. What are you grateful for today? 6 people. Yes, I see a hand. You're grateful for your husband. Good call. Sorry, I missed that. Yes, amen. We're included in his family. Good.
For all the grace and blessings he has given me.
All his grace and blessings. Amen. Balcony.
My good health.
Your good health. Amen. I heard a hand clap. Maybe there's a story behind that, is there? Or are you just generally grateful? Last year was cancer, this year she's healthy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Good stuff. Someone else?
Friends and community.
Friends and community. I knew Owen would be there.
My family.
For your family. I think we had more than 6, but I'm just starting to have fun, so let's keep going.
Being saved by Jesus Christ and knowing He is always with me.
Amen. Good. Good.
Canada.
Good stuff. For the Holy Spirit, yes.
The gift of life.
Amen. The gift of life. Again, you get 2? No, go ahead. Sorry, I'm just kidding you.
I'm grateful that my sister got cancer and now she's 4. She doesn't have any reaction for the chemo, so I'm thankful.
Good. Your sister coming through cancer treatment. Good. All right. As you know, Thanksgiving is sort of a natural celebration, but when we pull it into our church life, we really want to engage more of the spiritual side of things too. But you know, most of us are going to enjoy some good meals. We're going to take time for our family. We understand that the origins of Thanksgiving had to do a lot with immigrants to this world who came from desperate situations and began to farm and thrive. And I was thinking this week, because I was thinking about Thanksgiving, when farmers pull their harvest together and have a great feast and thank God for His bounty, you know that they're always waiting for the next foot to drop, Okay? I mean, it is. That's how life is, isn't it? This year we got a bounty. I wonder what next year is going to be like. What's the weather like? What's the crop going to be? And we do come that way to God all the time, don't we? We're coming with thanks. We're also not always so spiritual and so permanently thankful, but it's a great time of celebration, and we do focus on His natural blessings. And this morning, because we're as a family of God together, we're going to focus on some of the bigger picture stuff. But let's just honor God in everything we do. And before I go to my text, I want to go to the book of Psalms, and you don't need to turn there because I just did a fast word search in the book of Psalms, and for every verse that had the word thanks in it. I'm not going to read them all because there's too many, but I'm going to read about a dozen or so just to kind of get you warmed up to what the Psalms is all about. And in actual fact, when you just look at the word thanks in the Bible, you pretty soon know that it's related to a couple of other words that are so close to it, like praise. Praise is, in fact, giving thanks to God. So I did that word search in the book of Psalms for praise, and there was twice as many times it was in as thanks. And then I got thinking about the word blessings and bless. It's very closely related to thanksgiving, too. I did another word search, and again, it's about the same as praise. I mean, this whole hymn book in the Old Testament is just full of thanksgiving and praise and blessing to God and for Him and instruction to praise Him and to honor Him. And just as sort of a warm-up to our message this morning, I want to just read a few of the verses that popped out in the book of Psalms. Psalm 7 and 17 says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. You can say the odd amen when I finish a verse. Say amen, hallelujah, I will do that. Psalm 9:1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. Psalm 26:7, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to Him. Amen. Psalm 34, sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. Psalm 30:12, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 33:2, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, make melody with Him with the harp of 10 strings. Psalm 44:8, in God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Selah. 50:14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. 50:23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. It goes on by the dozens. And then you add praise, and then you add blessing, and then you add bless. This is all about our expression to God for His goodness, for His love, for His work, for what He's given us, for what He's done for us, for who He is. It's all encompassed in how we come to Him with thanksgiving. Allow me to pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your presence in this company of people. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, the most indescribable gift, as Paul calls it. We thank You for Your provision of healing and health. We thank You for Your provision of salvation, of wholeness. We thank You for the promise of heaven. We thank You for the promise and the blessing of family, of loved ones, of friends, of brothers that are, of friends that are closer than a brother, of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. All the things that were expressed briefly by folk here this morning, and all the things that overflow in our life, we thank You. We give praise to Your holy name. You are righteous. You are holy. You are loving. You have acted towards us with grace and mercy, and we have nothing to do but come before You with putting our life in Your hands, lay our body on the sacrificial altar, open our lips with the sacrifice of praise, and we say, praise You, praise You, praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, our Heavenly Father, our good, good Father, for all that You've done and all that You are. We cannot do anything else but say we praise You and we bring glory to You. And I do that in the authority in the name of Jesus Christ today. And everybody said, Amen. That's what we're doing this morning. My text is from a familiar portion in the book of Luke that sort of follows through this theme. Now, as I usually travel around to churches, I'm caught up these days. My sermon pile has a lot of stuff for churches and for leaders. When I go to Mozambique and Zimbabwe, we're talking about ministry. We're talking about the call of God for mission. But when Marcel called me for Thanksgiving Sunday, I said, I better do something different. So I'm just kind of unpacking some of around this theme of Thanksgiving today. And it's very personal for each of us. Personal for our families. It's who we are. It's very much in the Bible. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19 reads as such. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is one of those incidents in the Gospels that I could preach 10 minutes. Let's say 4 messages from. So I'm going to give you those 4 in 4 minutes because I just sort of want us to take a different angle today. But when you look at this particular part of Scripture, there's a whole context of the Old Testament, context of the work of God, context of the person of Jesus. There's so many things in there. Just for 1 minute, think about this leprosy thing. Leprosy was a dastard's disease. We have 2 Old Testament incidences of healing, including Naaman, who dips 9 times in the river. It was a disease that nobody's quite sure if it didn't describe. The Old Testament description wasn't more than just the disease that we call leprosy, but other related diseases with all kinds of problems that are attended with them. But it was a disease that they believed to be contagious, and the book of Leviticus caused people with leprosy to live apart. These 10 came, they stood away from Jesus. They were taught to be apart. They had to form their own communities, and they were to call out unclean, unclean as they walked along. They were set aside. And so we have this whole, the whole thing of leprosy, and we have also the understanding in the Bible that it's usually used as a picture of sin. Okay, so you layer this physical disease upon the affliction that's upon each one of us. All we have sinned and gone astray. The sin that's in us and the sins that come out of us. This leprosy causes us to be unclean and declare ourselves unclean and to need a special healing touch of God. And so whether we're talking about the physical act of leprosy and the sickness that attended it, or the spiritual implications of it, all this pours in the minute you see the word leprosy in the Bible. It just jumps out at you. I was reminded of a book I read years ago about Paul Brand. Paul Brand in the 20th century was a Christian doctor who served as a missionary, missionary doctor in India, and he brought his orthopedic skills to the subject of leprosy, and he became well known and he won many awards for it. And you can read his book, and one of his books is called Pain, the Gift of God. Because in the fourth stage, or the fourth aspect of leprosy, people lose their ability to feel pain. And that's why they lose limbs. That's why they get in trouble. A friend of mine was just on a cruise with a lady who was paralyzed and in a wheelchair. And when she got sick on the cruise. It was a short cruise just down the west coast. And this friend of ours was just telling us this week, and she got very sick. She wouldn't go to the clinic, you're on a cruise, and most people are too stubborn to go to the doctor real quick. But she got home. When they took her in, she had massive kidney stones, too big for, had to have invasive surgery this past week. Why? Because she couldn't feel them. Her paralysis caused her not to feel it. She had massive kidney stones, the vomiting and the fever that she had until when they finally got to the source. That's what happened to lepers. They lost limbs because they couldn't feel it. And this point's going to be reinforced at the end of the message, where I'm going to go to the text in Thessalonians, where it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Pain is one of those natural gifts that is a gift of God to us. We wouldn't know when our hand touches a fire that our hand could be destroyed if we didn't have pain. There are so many gifts of God, so many things that we don't think are a gift for which we can be grateful. And in leprosy, we have that kind of poured out. So anyway, I took more than a minute on that point, didn't I? Okay. Second point out of this, if you're going to preach, is the foreigner aspect, the Samaritan aspect. Most of you have read the Bible. You've heard that the tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. And even this text opens with Jesus traveling along the border between Judea and Samaria. And just like in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus often brings this point out that it's people who should be far from God, people who aren't part of the club, people who aren't in the inner circle, whether it's culturally, nationally, religiously, or whatever inner circle it is, these Samaritans represent them for us many times in all our life. And the leper who came back to lay down his place, his body in submission to Jesus, was a foreigner, was a Samaritan. And Jesus pulls that point out of this. And one more time, we're reminded that many of us wrestle with attitudes of a presumption, attitudes that it's the foreigner, it's the one who has sinned much, it's the one who that will most quickly respond and express gratefulness and live for Jesus with passion, that some of us just kind of, when we just take things for granted. And so you have in here, again, a whole lesson coming out of this part of Scripture that talks about the good news for all people and the fact that these Jewish believers, these Old Testament people, were going to reject Jesus. And he was going to be eventually proclaimed and spread amongst the Gentiles. And so there's that whole theme that kind of flows through this particular record, and it could be taken another step or two. That very last word, well, is another theme that could be brought here. We have, it could be the word whole, the word well. We have this wrestling with both the Hebrew and the Greek. They call it sozo, the Hebrew word, which is brought in the New Testament. It means totally healed. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, healed, or saved. You are saved, not just from leprosy, my friend, in the natural, but leprosy in the spiritual. You have a home in heaven. You have a walk with God right now. You have the Holy Spirit in you because of Jesus and because of Jesus' word and his ministry and his expression of healing. And because of that, your thankfulness and your gratefulness is brought you, your response to God has brought you everything in time and eternity. That's what we gather here on Sundays, isn't it? We're testifying to the work of Jesus on our behalf. We're saying I'm part of his family. I look forward to this eternity with him. It's such a powerful and impacting part of our lives. We say thank you, Jesus. So those are all the sermons I could have preached, but here's the one I want to bring to you. It's this. I want to ask you a question. 10 lepers. Do you think the other 9 were ungrateful? No. They lived their life as social outcasts. They lived their lives, every time they looked at their bodies, they saw the terrible signs of a disease that afflicted them, that changed their lives, that caused them to live in caves and just hang out with other people who had it. They had to shout unclean anytime someone came near them to warn people off of them. That's just not a social affliction. That becomes an inner call it a psychological affliction, call it whatever you want, your identity, who you are, what's going on. Do you think the other nine weren't ungrateful? No, they were grateful. They were doing what Jesus told them to do, and they were running to the priest, who was their doctor in this case, to examine them, to see that they'd been healed, and to pronounce them healed. They were as grateful as anybody could be. So what's the difference? The difference is the Samaritan expressed it and came back to Jesus and fell down before Jesus. To pour out his heart to Jesus for it. I did a little reading on the subject this week, and some people said, thankfulness is in your heart, gratefulness is what you do about it. And then I read somebody else, they said, gratefulness is what's in your heart, and thankfulness is what you do about it. So I don't know which is which, but I know this. We're to be reminded today that there's a difference between being grateful in your heart and expressing it. And acting on it, and telling others, including the Lord, but including others, of what's in your heart of gratefulness. Oh, I don't think I'm always grateful about things, but the point today is not so much that as it is the expression of it. Why did the psalmist over and over again say, give thanks to the Lord? Bring the sacrifice of praise is to bring your life in alignment with your intention. We all intend a lot of things towards God and towards others, but it's our direction, it's our obedience, it's our expression that really begins to make a difference. I gave the title a little message. I don't know if, there it is. Thanksgiving is good medicine. I just had to make that up because I was asked for it. But it's kind of where I'm going here. A couple weeks ago after I preached somewhere, the guy who does the recordings came and asked me, what was the title of your message? And my wife said I was very grouchy with him because I just said, oh, I don't know, I don't have a title. And so I had to make one up. And so I had to make one up once in a while. It's good medicine. Here's the thing about medicine. A couple weeks ago, for example, I had to buy a little something for, it's very not important or big, but my wife said to me, it only works if you take it, if you use it. Well, of course, I just spent $15. I'm going to use it, right? No, that's not the way it often works. It only works if you use it. I just want to point out four or five things, and this is where I was going to go, but I decided it was too much length, but I'm going to just hit a few points today of what thankfulness is an antidote for in our lives, what it's medicine for. And probably if I studied the Bible longer, I would make this, instead of five things, I would make it 25 things. But the first thing comes from Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. And in Romans chapter 1, if you know this letter well, you understand that partway through, Paul is basically saying, leading up in these opening chapters to the sin and the sinfulness of all of mankind and of the way the world is going without Jesus. And we just have to watch the news to see the way the world's going without Jesus. When you get to verse 21, he says this, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. You know, I've read this verse a lot of times, and I know that this phrase is in there, but it still doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Yeah, they're disobedient. They rejected him. It goes on to talk about what happens to a culture and what happens to a people that turn away from God and don't embrace him. But right in the middle of this is, what's the turning point? They didn't know him as God. They knew him, but they didn't honor him or give thanks to him. I want to say that thanksgiving is probably the antidote to hell. It's people who turn gratefully to God to find a way to heaven. It's that simple. Thankfulness is an antidote to hell. And it's big picture application. See, when you go on to Romans, we often walk people through the verses in Romans to show them the way to God. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we get to chapter 10, it says this, and this is partly to the idea, you're taking your medicine today. It said, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. That's why you're going to have a water baptism service here in a couple weeks, because some people are going to express their thankfulness. They're going to say, in my heart, I'm a believer, but today I'm obeying by getting, I think your tank's in here somewhere, isn't it? Under this platform, I'm going to be baptized because the Bible teaches me to be baptized because I'm thankful to God and Jesus, and I'm going to do the most foolish thing that can ever be done in order to show it and demonstrate his work for me. How many of you have been baptized in water? Hallelujah. That's what it's about. You confess, you believe in your heart, but you confess with your mouth. And so the first thing I want to say is thankfulness is the antidote to hell. Second thing I want to say, and I'm looking at Philippians 4 for these next two. The second thing I want to say is that thankfulness is an antidote to entitlement. Entitlement's a big sickness of the soul. Philippians 4, and I'm not going to read a specific verse for it, but I'll tell you, Paul began, he was writing to the Philippians, and he said, I'm grateful to you that you've sent me an offering twice when nobody else does. But he said, I want you to know, I've learned to be content, and here I'm pulling in another thing that I think means thankful, whether I am broke or wealthy, whether I have nothing or have much, I have learned to be content. I have learned to be thankful. He was grateful for their offering to him because he didn't feel entitled. He felt blessed. He didn't think anybody owed him a living. He didn't know how anything was going to play out. And he had to learn there was times where he had nothing and he still learned to be, give thanks in every circumstance. And so he expressed it. And then, so I believe that thankfulness is the antidote to entitlement. And thirdly, from Philippians 4 and 6, it's the antidote to worry. It said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, what's the word? Thanksgiving. You've got that memorized, don't you? Because you're a bunch of worriers. But you've learned where to go. It's one of the first verses we memorize, isn't it? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the God of peace begins to work in our lives. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Gratefulness, thankfulness is the antidote to worry. Until we begin to practice thankfulness when we're worried. We begin to pray and to seek the Lord. And we, you know, as soon as you do that, thankfulness begins to happen if you're sincere, right? No matter what your circumstance is, all of a sudden you begin to remember the Lord and his work in the past and his work in the heavens and his work today and the work in your family and the work in your job and his work in every part of your life. And you begin to think about it, and pretty soon you learn to trust him again, and you have the peace of God until the next worry comes along, which is why you got to keep reading those verses in the formula for how to not be worried so much, right? But short answer today, it's the antidote to worry. Number four, I believe thankfulness is the antidote to depression. Psalm 43 and 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Psalmist is talking to himself. Why are you cast down? Why do the clouds outside seem like they're all over your mind today? It said, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. using the word praise here to take to my Thanksgiving theme. He said, you want to get over depression, discouragement, you begin to hope in God, you begin to praise Him. That's why I think this phrase in the Old Testament in Psalms, and then it's brought back to us in Hebrews, the sacrifice of praise. It means every once in a while, when I begin to praise Him, when I begin to give thanks to Him, it takes a little bit of sacrifice. Don't feel like it. Doesn't seem, the small picture seems a little oppressive today, but we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, right? That's the antidote to depression, is thankfulness. And just one more antidote, and I think someday I'll go back and add another 20 to this, but this is just this week's meditation. Ephesians 5 and 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the antidote to filthiness, to grossness, to sinfulness, to the actions and the speech of sarcasm and anger and sexual innuendo. He said, rather, you know, when you don't know what else to say, say something that has thankfulness in it. Gratefulness, praise, honor. Shouldn't be a difficult substitution. It will chase filth from your mouth and from your heart when you replace it with thanksgiving to God. Amen?
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:18 is my summary and closing verse. In the ESV it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. So the big question here for those of us that have been reading this verse for 50 years is, we're always clear that it doesn't say give thanks for circumstances, but we still have to ask the question, does this mean I'm supposed to be thankful in the situation? Is that what the will of God is? So the question is the will of God this situation? Or is the will of God my response to the situation? I thought about this again this week. I've always said, of course, it's the will of God is being thankful. Situation probably isn't always good, and it can't blame every situation on God. I'd mess up a lot of times, and the world's a stained world. But, you know, for this morning, I kind of came to a different answer. I said, I think it's both and. Give thanks in all circumstances. The circumstance I find myself in today that you find yourself in, whether it's health-wise, whether it's family-wise, whether it's financially, even whether it's some spiritual darkness, some night of the soul that seems to be afflicting us, can't really just separate it and say, well, I'm going to be thankful anyway. Nah, it goes a little deeper than that. Because I have a sovereign God. My situation, my circumstance hasn't taken Him by surprise today. His apparent not putting His hands on to fix it right away doesn't negate His love. I know that. Up here I know that. But somehow to walk in the will of God, I have to learn how to be thankful, express praise, be submissive, find this state of trusting Him and trusting Him with some enough joy to at least be able to say, thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. We have an author you've all read that talks about love languages, right? Identifies five love languages. You've all figured out what your love language is and what your spouse's love language is and what your kid's love language is, and you're trying to figure it out. How do you express love? How do you respond with a heart that's that shows thankfulness. We all say, okay, I am thankful, like the nine, but we're called to be like the one who shows it. My final question and thought for you, and then I'll turn it back to Melanie or whoever here this morning, is what's God's love language? I'll give you 30 seconds to think about it. What's God's love language? How can I love him today? How can I be thankful, grateful? What's God's love language? I think of the Gospel of John, Jesus talks to his disciples. It's pretty clear. If I think about it for a few more weeks, I may come up with a more complicated answer, but I think God's love language is my obedience. If you love me, do my word, obey me. Now that's a pretty broad thing, but it boils down to this. To be grateful, to honor God, to be content, to be thankful, to pour it out to him today leads me not to just what's in my heart, but what I do. I say that I love him, but God's love language is obedience. The Samaritan leper who fell at his feet, while the other nine grateful ones ran to the priest, was somehow acting, speaking up. He said it loudly. There was joy. And it was focused on Jesus. The love language of God is obedience, and I call us to be outwardly and manifestly obedient to God today in gratefulness for what he's done. God bless you.